Good afternoon. So I have no disclosures. So the history of the lung cancer screening program at Maimonides. The NLST, the National Lung Screening Trial, was the largest study to date with more than 50,000 patients. And enrolled participants were aged 55 to 74 at the time of randomization, and they had tobacco use of a 30-pack year history and were either current smokers or had quit within the last 15 years. The findings of that study showed unequivocally that screening for lung cancer using a low-dose CT scan can reduce lung cancer mortality by 20%. With that information, in December of 2013, the United States Preventive Services Task Force came out with a Grade B recommendation calling for lung cancer screening to be part of routine care for all of those at high risk, and the USPSTF actually named the risk as people age 55 to 80 instead of 55 to 74. And the recommendation was a Grade B, which under the Affordable Care Act makes it an essential health service. So in 2015, on the anniversary date of the health plan, all third-party insurers will be mandated to cover lung cancer screenings. Our program, our hospital is a community-based hospital. We're not part of a health system yet. What that will be like in the next 6 months, we don't know. But we are a community-based hospital in Brooklyn, New York. We are the largest hospital in Brooklyn. We, using the findings of the NLST, we know that smoking is a huge issue in Brooklyn, and so we embarked on bringing in a lung cancer screening program. And basic components are what you would expect from any good screening program. There's the outreach, there's the recruitment. As the coordinator, I do the intake. We do a lot of one-on-one attention and phone calls and letters and all that other wonderful stuff. Okay, so the program started in April of 2013, and we screened our first patient in June of 2013, and I'll update this because I had to upload it, so it couldn't be the latest statistic, but as of when I left New York on Friday, we had screened 205 unduplicated patients, and we had had 37 follow-ups, 4 biopsies and 2 cancers found. So our budget, because this is all about return on investment, right? So the hospital gave us a budget of $100,000 to use for marketing and outreach. This does not include personnel costs. Personnel is me. I'm a one-woman show. So this does not include my salary. It's $100,000 just to run the program. And that's what we based our ROI on, is the $100,000. So sources of income. We have to figure out, when you're doing your ROI, you have to figure out, well, you know what your expenses are because that's what you're spending your money on. Where are you getting income back? So further diagnostic procedures. As I mentioned a couple of slides ago, we had 2 biopsies. Well, even before those 2 biopsies, we had 4 biopsies, 2 cancers. So even before those 4 biopsies, there were other diagnostic tests that had to be done. PET scans, MRIs, the pre-op labs that had to be done, all of that is income to the hospital. The biopsies themselves were surgical procedures, and one of the cancers found was actually a resection. Follow-up scans. Well, what happens with lung cancer screening is sometimes they see something and they go, we're really not sure. We should wait because we really don't want to play around with your lungs because we don't want to start sticking needles and things into your lungs. So it's like, we should wait a little bit. So we use the American College of Radiology guidelines, and it's if it's this, you wait this amount of time, and if it's that, you wait that amount of time. So it's anywhere between 3 and 6 months. And because there's now nodules that are in the lung, that's reimbursable by insurance, income, right? Initial scans covered by insurance. Well, as I said, with the USPSTF recommendation, more and more private insurers are covering lung cancer screenings before the 2015 mandate. And so that, again, generates income for us. We do have a smoking cessation program, and we do charge a minimal fee. The fee is $75 for, we use the American Lung Association's Freedom from Smoking curriculum. $75 for it is really not a lot of money, and when I have patients who tell me they can't afford it, I ask them, how much are you smoking? And when they tell me they're smoking two packs a day and they buy their cigarettes at the bodega down the block, I'm like, yeah, don't tell me you can't afford a lung cancer screening program. $13 for a pack of cigarettes and you're smoking two packs a day, you have $75 to stop, they can stop. And donations to the program. So we do raffles at community events and fees paid for CME events. Our expenses, marketing and advertising. We actually, this month, are finishing up a six-month ad campaign in the local United Artists theaters. We have two mega United Artists theater complexes in Brooklyn. One has 18 theaters, and the other one has 12 theaters, and we have a 30-second spot that runs one time before each movie shown every day. Except for G-rated movies. So if you think about how many times a movie is shown, that was a pretty good bang for our buck. It was $23,000. We do street fairs. We have giveaways. We sponsorship of events with other lung associations. We have conference fees, professional dues, stipends for speakers, symposium for medical staff, and we actually just did a motorcycle ride last Sunday, and actually it costs money to do those. We had to buy flags, bandanas, t-shirts, and we had to pay for the food because you have to feed them, you know, feed them and they will come. So OTPS, our current expenses are $58,456, and that includes that list that I just showed you about the expenses. And scans not covered by insurance. So what happened was when I came to the hospital in April of 2013, I had inherited a program model calling for the patients to pay $150 for the lung screening low-dose CT, which if you think about $150 for a CAT scan, that's really not a lot of money. And that included both the CAT scan and the physician and the radiologist fee to read the CAT scan. We got such pushback from the provider community that they refused to refer any of their patients to us. They were screaming, no, they can't afford it. I'm not doing this. And it forced us to look at other funding streams, and we were able to redirect some money and develop a fund to pay for 200 scans at no cost. And so far in 2014, we have used $17,250 out of a $30,000 fund. Our income is we had a surgical biopsy where, now this $21,249 from the surgical biopsy, that's not what we billed. That's what we got paid from the insurance company. That's not what we billed. We billed somewhere in the area of $75,000 for it. And from that, we got paid $21,249. As I said, many more insurances are covering screenings. And so initial scans that are covered by insurance, so far, we've been able to recoup $1,310. Follow-up scans, there were four of them, because remember I said sometimes somebody needs to come back in 3 or 6 months. That was $3,327. PET scans, $975, the smoking cessation fee, $225, and donations was $2,050 for a total income of $29,136, which makes our ROI at 39%, which isn't so terrible, but it's not good enough. Because the thing you have to realize is that to break even, ROI has to be 100%. And you make money when your ROI is above 100%. And the reality is that this is a hospital-based program, and hospitals are a business. And if you can have the most fabulous, the most amazing, the most enormous program ever that really does touch at the heart of public health, and lung cancer screening does. I don't know how many in this room are aware that lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death, and lung cancer kills more people annually than breast, prostate, colon, and pancreatic cancers combined. And if you look at the research funding, which is another session, the research funding for lung cancer is abominable, but that's a totally other session. So Like I said, lung cancer screening is a really important program considering what I just told you and what we know in fact. All right? If we don't make money, if we're not in the black, we're going to get cut. And that's true for everyone sitting here. If your program can't show a financial sustainability and financial success, your program is going to be cut, because the reality is that the administrators who are the bean counters don't care that it's the right thing to do. And they don't care that it's good for the community and that it speaks to the heart of public health. They want to make sure that their financial books are in order, and that means being in the black. So I say this, okay, and if your financial success is where your agency sets the bar. If your financial agency sets the bar at 105%, well, you know, that's pretty good, all right? If your financial agency sets the bar at 200%, you've got a lot of work to do. One of the things I just wanted to talk about, let me go back here, is that you really have to think out of the box when you're looking at your income. I was working with patient accounts to see how much we were getting paid for the PET scans and the repeat low-dose CT scans and the initial ones that were covered. And then I realized that I was leaving out a really important piece, and that was the radiologist fee, that payment gets recorded by another department. And so now I have to talk to the other department and say, okay, so there was a read on such and such a date for such and such a patient. How much did we get paid? There's the fee. A lot of our physicians are on salary. And so, again, I'm dealing with this physician, this physician income department to find out how much our surgeons are getting paid for a particular procedure, and then I'm talking to patient accounts to find out how much did the hospital get paid for the inpatient stay or for the same-day surgery if it's a biopsy. So you really have to think out of the box in terms of where your income is coming from, and you have to record it all. Your best friend when you are doing ROI is Excel, your absolute best friend, right? Pencil and paper, don't even try. Access, it doesn't work the same way. Excel will be your best friend. Are there any questions?
How come your agency chose to not include you as a staff person
in
the cost of the program?
I'm not really sure. I can tell you that it took over a year for me to be hired because of budget reasons. I was hired, I was interviewed in May of 2012, and in August of 2012, I was told that the position was on hold for budget reasons, and in January of 2013, I got a call saying, hey, we found some money, are you still interested? We always thought you'd be the best candidate, but it's part-time now. And I was coming from the nonprofit sector, and I was like, definitely. And I went in for an interview, and they told me how much the salary was, and it was a no-brainer to make the move to part-time. And but it was coming out of a different area, and that might be why they're not. This $100,000 is coming out of general operating. They're going by the business plan that was presented to them in order to get this program off the ground. And so the business plan actually had called for 200 patients to be screened in the first year, and it took us a little under 18 months to reach the 200 patients. But the business plan was counting on people paying $150. And then we had to come up with this fund. So that kind of almost threw the business plan out the window, because it was never tweaked for people not paying for scans. But thank you for reminding me. Last Monday, a huge a huge coup, I even want to say, came through in that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has put forth a draft recommendation to cover lung cancer screening for Medicare beneficiaries. And considering that our age for screening is 55 to 80, Medicare beneficiaries are a huge piece of the puzzle. Yes, I think that will make a huge difference. It's going to depend on how much CMS pays. I can tell you that right now in Brooklyn, New York, for the follow-up scans, CMS is paying $95 for a scan that's billed at $850. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.